All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for gathering us for worship and to gather together to have fellowship with one another and with you. We ask that you would fill us to abundance, that we would know of your presence in our life, of all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and that we would go forth this day with generosity, sharing with the weak and the poor, with the needy who are all about us. Please bless us as we study your word now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. When Walker and I started dating, I spent a lot of time with her family. It did not hurt that they lived on the beach. In fact, that didn't hurt at all. In fact, it was quite a lot nice place to go and to relax on weekends during college. So we would drive down, and one of the things that her family had been doing for years prior to my coming upon the scene, and they did for years following that, was that they were foster parents for children ages 0 to 3. And the room that was the guest bedroom was also the foster child's bedroom. So at times, if I wasn't on the couch, I got to sleep in that room, in which case I learned how to change diapers and what to do in the middle of the night with the child. I tell you all this because there was one young man who I learned something else from. This young man was of the older of the group from 0 to 3. And when we sat down at a dinner table, he would eat. He would eat and eat until he got himself sick. And he would take candy bars, and he would hide candy bars or different snacks that were within reach of the pantry, closets. And they kept trying to explain to him that he didn't need to do this, that if he was hungry, you just ask and you give it to him. Yet, I could go to bed and find candy bars shoved underneath the pillow in that room because he was saving them in case at some point he didn't have anything. This was because this child had lived in a household where he wasn't fed, but rarely. And so he didn't know when his next meal might come. And people might be telling him that it will always be there, but that is not what he knew at age 3. By age 3, he doubted whether or not there would be food on the table for the next meal. So he hoarded it. He hoarded it because of a scarcity mentality. This scarcity mentality is found throughout the world. When it rains in the desert, you find water and you fill up all of your jugs so that you've got water for the next time it comes around. If you watched Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, Charlie gets his one bar of chocolate a year, and he doesn't eat the whole thing. He nibbles the corner, right, until he gets that extra dollar. But there's a scarcity mentality. What happens if it's not there? My children do it when it comes to any kind of sweets. We've cut back on them so much that whenever they see it, they're like, oh, we want the whole cake. Give me the whole pint of ice cream in case Mom and Dad tell me they can't have it. I'm going to eat as much as I can, as fast as I can. We do all of these sorts of things as well. A scarcity mentality is real. It is prevalent in our society. It's prevalent the world over. And because of this, we function out of fear. In our psalm today, Psalm 112, the psalmist begins, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." Look, this is speaking to you. One who fears the Lord. A Christian. In this time, you would have been a good Jew. But to a Christian, he's saying, you fear the Lord. You are blessed. You delight in his commandments. We say them at the beginning of every service. We just simplify them. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You delight in him and his commandments. You are blessed. And this is what happens. This is the blessing that you receive. He follows in verse 2. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. You who are God-fearers, followers of Christ, ones who seek to love God and seek to love your fellow man, your neighbors, you are given an abundant new life with Christ. A life filled with abundance and blessings. This calls for some kind of a response. If you really believe the Lord is who he says he is, if you are one of his and he has blessed you, if you have eyes to see the blessing, then it should motivate us and move us to do something. And for the psalmist, it moves him to great generosity. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely and has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. He distributes to the poor. He gives generously. He does so in the good times when he's sitting there with an abundance, and he even says he is not afraid of bad news. Bad news comes. We all know this is true. Even for those who are seeking to follow the Lord, you will get bad news. But his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. He has nothing to be afraid of. He looks in triumph over his adversaries because he knows that the Lord will bring him salvation. So in the good and the bad, the follower, the God-fearer, gives generously out of the abundance that the Lord has given. Now, at the beginning of the sermon, I talked about the fact that many have a scarcity mentality. Many of us in the society and the circles we run in are affluent. That doesn't mean that we all came from affluent backgrounds. Many of you know what poverty looks like, what some of these stresses look like, and what it means to live out of a scarcity mindset. Also, many of us know what abundance looks like. We know what it is like not to worry about where our next meal comes from. We know what it's like that when our car starts getting a little old, we know that we can go lease another one or do whatever you do with your cars. Yeah, it hurts the pocketbook, but we live in abundance. And I would like to challenge you today, or at least to point out to you today, that while you may have abundance, most of us, myself included, at times live in the scarcity mentality. We do so, and I'm going to give in three examples. One is your time. We do not think that we have enough hours in the day to do what we want to do. Therefore, when I ask you to do something, I don't know, let me check my schedules. Let's make sure that I have the time available. And some of that is healthy boundaries. You should do it. You can't do everything. You can't say yes to everyone all the time. But you should ask yourself why you say no. For many of us, it is because something better might come up. I don't want to commit to doing this because what happens if somebody invites me out to a nice dinner instead? We are worried about spending our time in ways that benefits others and not ourselves. Sometimes we're willing to spend our time on our families, but most of the time it's for our own self-comfort that we're not willing to give up of our time. Because time is limited, and we live with a scarcity mentality. The second is with all of your talents and gifts. Yes, you use them. You use them well. Many of you have made a great living off of them. You use your talents often to serve other people. in the good times. Question is, how about the bad? When things aren't going so well, or when you don't feel like you have enough strength and someone asks you to use your gifts and talents, they need you to lend a hand, to love God and love your neighbor. Yet, you look at it, you say, well, if I were to do this, I might be too tired to help later on, to do something else. I might have given up or used all of my talent up, and I don't want to waste it. If everybody finds out that I'm able to build something, then everyone's going to ask me to do it, and I can't just let everyone ask me. That's not a good use. We take our talents and we hold them tight. We use them for our own personal gain. And at times, when things are good, you're feeling good and happy and in abundance, maybe you'll share a little bit, but you hold back enough to support yourself. This is what happens in scarcity mentality. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have enough. It means that you don't think that you will have enough, which means you don't trust that the Lord will provide for your needs. It's as simple as that. Or as difficult as that. Do we trust that He will give us what we need? Lastly, it comes to finances. The one who's a God-fearer, who loves the Lord and loves his neighbor, deals generously and lends, distributes freely. He has given to the poor. You give. I'm thankful for it. The church building is thankful for it. Those who will come after you are thankful for your giving. Those other institutions that you give to are thankful for your financial support. But do we give when it hurts? When all of a sudden the car does need to get fixed? The question is, do we give money to the church, but, well, maybe not, because what happens if something happens to my vehicle? Then I need to save money back, right? Because we're worried about it. Scarcity mentality, it happens. We hold back financially, and we may have plenty of wealth, plenty, but we're worried about our grandchildren or our children or our great-grandchildren, whether or not they'll have enough. And because of that, we hold back. We live with a scarcity mentality. There won't be enough for them one day. Well, there might not be enough for them to live the way that you live now. They might have to do some other things, and you might not be able to continue to live the way that you do now if you give as generously as the psalmist suggests. But my chances are you'll have food on the table. The Lord will provide for those needs that you have. But how do we live not in a scarcity mentality, but how do we live an abundant life, knowing that the Lord will provide for our needs? You and I do live in affluence and abundance. Whether we want to admit to it or not, and it may not look that way to us right here, but when we look the world over, we live in affluence and abundance. Both of time, talents, finances. Yet, you and I live with a scarcity mindset so often. And this morning, I want you to hear that you can be set free from this. You do not have to live with a scarcity mindset. The Lord sent His Son for you and for me, to set us free from the bondage of sin, death, and the grave. He set us free from the worries and cares of this world for hope and a new life with Him. He has given us joy and love and peace for all those who put their hope and trust in Him. He is a Father who gives good gifts to His children. They may not be as fancy as you like them sometimes, but He gives good gifts. My prayer is that you and I would be set free from our scarcity mindsets, that we would recognize the abundance that we have in our new lives with Christ, that we would truly fear the Lord, and that we would delight in his commandments, that we would delight in seeking to love him and to love others by giving up of ourselves, by giving up of our time and energy, by giving up of our talents and our finances, in order that others may know the love of Christ, in order that others may know the hope that is found in Christ alone. So let us today give up this scarcity, hold fast to our Savior Christ, be filled with abundance, and go forth filled with joy. And out of the abundance, give generously. Give generously of ourselves, in order that our Savior Christ might be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Give.